You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
It's the first day of the week, so it's Shapiro World with David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities in Johannesburg. David, how was Pesach?
It's laborious.
spoken like a true zealot.
That's a good family. Nah, it is. From a family point of view, it's like Christmas, you know. You're always cursed, but you enjoy it. If it wasn't there, you'd be very unhappy. So it's always lovely to see your family and sit and talk and catch up with family news. I'm not mad about matzah and the food that we have to eat, but it's for a week. I can give it up for a week.
Okay, well, here we go.
Drink cheap wine, which is the worst thing on earth.
Oh, really, David?
Pesach wine is actually Becksburg make. It's a pretty good import, I must say, from various places around the world, kosher wines. So, and Becksburg do a pretty good job as well. But anyway, and you know, Lindsay, I don't know if you know this, you know, nights you're forced to drink four glasses of wine. You know, that's you're forced to drink four glasses of wine. You have to drink. You're obliged to sit and relax and drink four glasses of wine, and you can't drink a thimbleful. You know, it's a measured, it's 150, I think. I can't remember what the size is, but it's a pretty healthy cup.
Well, this is so a religion I can embrace.
You're pretty puchai after four glasses, huh?
You, maybe. I'll just be warming up. David, let's have a look at the markets at the moment. The markets are doing very little, actually. I mean, we'll come to the States in a moment. We're in the middle of earnings season. Yeah. But what about what you're seeing on the JSE? The Omnia story is an interesting one, isn't it? The Omnia story is another story of too much debt in South Africa.
It's a worry. You know, I've been pointing this out almost every day about Omnia. It's been concerning because I've always liked the business. I've liked their history. But of the last couple of years, things have really gone the other way. And once you start consulting with banks, it just shows you that the liquidity is under a lot of pressure. The shares are rebounded now. I mean, they've rebounded quite strongly, after the publication of this update. But I think up to now, it's been a pretty difficult situation. So, I wasn't sure that I would have responded by buying the shares up after the announcement. I would have been a little more worried. But obviously, there's something in there that seemed to satisfy, that seemed to satisfy the outsiders. It's a seasonal issue. They might be caught now because of pre-planting or whatever the issue is. But, you know, when I saw their last set of results, I was a bit nervous about where they were heading. Anyway, but market seems to have lighted for whatever reason.
Yeah, indeed. What have we got? What else have we got here?
You know what's interesting?
I'm just
looking, Lindsay. You know, it's funny because the markets, we suddenly sparked into life round about 3:30 exactly now. And this is pre-recorded, or is it? And we've shot up about 200 points literally in the last half an hour or so. We were under the radar. We were under the advantage line and picked up now. And I run a little model which tells me what the attribution is. And there seems to be a strong, strong demand for Naspers coming through in the last few minutes. So to give you an idea or to give listeners an idea, the top 40 is up 30 points at the moment.
Okay.
Of which, now listen to this, you know, this is how it influences one or two stocks. So there are 40 shares, I think it's a little bit more because we double count Investec and we double count Mondi. But Of that 30 points, 18 of those come from Naspers, and we've had a big gain in Sasol because of an increase in the oil price, and that adds up 15. So the two give up 33. If we add Richemont in, that's another 9 points, that's 42. And then what's taken away from the market are the banks. But it just shows you the influence of two stocks, Naspers and Sasol, can have on the whole market. You know, it's not broadly spread. Naspers has a 22% weighting in the top 40, and Sasol's only 4%. But because Sasol is up 4% today, that's where you get the kind of move that we've seen. So if you're trying to wonder where it's coming from, that's where, you know, that's the kind of influences we have.
Yeah, if you go
on the JSE, yeah.
If you go to ShareNet, you see the top five major movers to the upside at the moment: Sasol, Sappi, a company called Vivo, which we can discount, Exxaro,
yeah,
and Mediclinic. More importantly, on the downside, we've got Goldfields, Anglo, Gold Ashanti, Intuprop, First Rand, and Spar on the downside. The oil story is very, very interesting indeed, yeah, because Mr. Trump keeps on saying, he says things like, I want OPEC to open the taps, to open the spigots and get the oil price down. And yet he says, by May the 1st, if you are an importer of Iranian oil, you will, yep, be slapped with sanctions. I don't think he quite understands economics. Is it me, or is he contradictory?
No, you're not. No, you're not. Because in the one case, he wants oil price to come down, and then he removes the waiver, which allowed other countries who had deals with Iran to continue. Now he's saying to them, you can't do that, which was most of Europe and other people who were importing oil from Iran. So now you can't do that, which means that you're taking a big producer completely out. So who's going to fill that? Now he wants OPEC to say, okay, open up again, you know, just open up production. In the meantime, OPEC's saying, no, we want the oil price higher. So it is exactly that. You know, he's I don't know whether, you know, shooting himself in the foot, which is probably the only way we could, you know, describe it. Rather odd, though. Why? I don't know.
What do you do with Sasol?
You know, you've got different people. You've got different people within the American administration who've all got different views on what should be done. But obviously, they don't talk to each other. It's clear.
What do you do with Sasol? You've always said that you don't understand commodities, you can't predict commodities, and obviously Sasol is a commodity stock. So what do you do with Sasol? You can't ignore it. It's 4% of the index. No.
And, you know, it's interesting because Sasol is no longer – what worries me is that Sasol is no longer really an oil company. It's a chemical company.
Right.
And the Louisiana project, the ethylene cracker, is going to be half of Sasol's business now, you know, certainly in terms of what they pay. They came out with an announcement on Thursday saying that this is going to cost them at the top end of the, you know, it's going to cost them at the top end of the curve or their projections. So it's going to cost them more. Plus, if you look at the, I don't know what the correct chemicals are, but whether it's ethane or, you know, the input to, sorry, you know, the cost of the product that they make is actually coming down. And in fact, there's an oversupply of it. So you're wondering what the market's responding to. The market's responding to the Rand, which is 14.30 at the moment, and it's responding to the oil price, which has gone up, you know, went up 3%, I think, on Thursday or yesterday, whenever it ran. So it's rather odd because its future is not going to be dominated by those two factors. It's going to be dominated by, you know, what they put out at this new massive facility. And I don't think they're going to get a return on capital. I don't think they're going to get a return or a decent return on their investment, you know, judging by the prices of the output and so on. So it's a little odd that it's reacting with such vigor today.
Yeah.
So that remains a mystery, you know, that we've got a crack. And you need once they come into production, remember the production is also delayed. So, Lindsay, I think it's going to be once they start producing that we see the benefits. The big thing that's influencing people to buy Sasol is that they say, well, that's going to be the end of the capex.
Mm.
No more capex from now on, you know, massive cash returns. I think that's the big attraction. But I think in terms of pure economics, it's we're going to have to change our models in terms of where they make money and how we look at the company.
Yeah, we've also got to say to ourselves, if you're very simplistic and don't look at Sasol as a chemical company anymore, you say, well, in the old days, it was very simple. The oil price multiplied by the dollar-rand exchange rate. And look at the dollar-rand now, 14.29, for goodness sake.
Yeah,
it was 13.75, 13.80 a week ago?
Yeah. Lindsay, I don't know. I don't think that's all the dollar. I think there's a bit of fears pre-election and perhaps concerns about the whole situation with Eskom. Eskom, despite the fact that Pravin Gordhan has come out and saying that it's all under control and, you know, the companies or the government's not on the brink or, Eskom's not on the brink of a collapse. I think there are issues that are worrying the market out there about.
You think it's Rand weakness rather than dollar strength here?
I think there's Rand weakness and there are worries about Eskom. There are worries particularly that they needed to go to government for, even if it's only 5 billion Rand, they had to get an emergency bailout because the Chinese were a little slow in providing the funding. That funding might come. They went to APSA. APSA has given them a, you know, APSA gave them the money on condition that the government guaranteed it. So as we talk, the Rand's 14.32 at the moment. So it seems to be outpacing other emerging countries. So there is something there that's worrying. And, you know, the backdrop to this, just understand the backdrop to this is not the kind of backdrop where we should see the Rand weakening at such a pace. The backdrop is you've got very strong U.S. markets because we've got good numbers out of Coca-Cola. We've got good numbers out of Twitter. These are not the prime companies, you know, that the market's waiting for. I know Coca-Cola used to be. We wait for Microsoft and we're waiting for Amazon and what's the other one tomorrow? Facebook.
Yes.
And so there's quite an upbeat view. When there's an upbeat view, people generally, you know, the Rand tends to improve against that. So the dollar's not running away. You know, it's firmer, but not running away. So there's something there that's disturbing the market, and I would attribute it to Eskom.
I would attribute it to Eskom as well. I mean, I don't know why the Rand is where it is at the moment, actually. I think it should be 16-30, not 14-30. Yeah. But, I mean, there's obviously flows here and there, and it's a holiday time. But I do believe that this will be a trend that we'll see. 14.75 to 14.80 is probably the near-term target. Talking about US earnings, and go back to 1999, 2000, and the listings that were very different listings to the ones we've had over the last few years on the NASDAQ and the New York Stock Exchange. But when I see Pinterest coming to the market and doing so well, I say to myself, wait a second, be careful. Yeah. This is another social media company, Pinterest. I've never used Pinterest. Yeah. I'm sure it's very good. Lots of pictures, lots of pretty pictures everywhere. But when it comes to the market, that's a sort of worrying sign for a curmudgeon like myself.
Yeah. In fact, the Economist, the lead article this week, the leader was on the unicorns, and they gave that exact warning that a lot of these businesses are not making money. I don't know, what's it, Pinterest?
Pinterest, yes.
Pinterest, yeah. I think this is if you're planning a wedding, you know, and you start to pin all kinds of sites onto your board, etc., and you collect certain things and the makeup that you want to use, the shoes you want to wear, and so on. I don't know. I just read these things, Lindsay. But I think the worrying feature is that a lot of these businesses are disruptors, such as Uber and Lyft, and so on. But they make a very important point in the in The Economist, they're saying these companies don't build big moats around. In other words, cost of entry is actually quite cheap. So if you've got an Airbnb, it's very easy to build a competitor, as we've seen. And for that reason, they feel that maybe the markets are a little too excited about these businesses. I feel the same way. I wouldn't go into Uber. You know, I wouldn't go into these companies. I just don't feel they've got the command, what's the word? They have got the dominance that allows us to pay those kind of prices. So I'm on the same page as you. I'm a little concerned about the kind of numbers. And if you think about Uber coming to the market, you know, everybody getting excited, I wouldn't, you know, I don't buy those where you can find competition.
I don't understand why people get so excited about Uber. It's a fantastic service. I mean, in Cape Town, I know that if you press your Uber app and say, pick me up at the V&A waterfront and I need to go to wherever it is, there's one there within 2 minutes. I mean, in other cities in the world that I've been in, it takes 5, 6, 7 minutes. Uber's a fantastic service, but they put out this note that says, we're not going to make money. So I don't understand why people are getting so excited about the Uber IPO.
You see what happens? That's the point. When they say they're not going to make money, and what do? We become, what's the word? You know, we expect the low value. I think The Economist used a word, it could have been promiscuous. In other words, we're greedy. We don't want to pay higher prices for these kind of services. Once they've offered them to us at such a low price, you want that to continue. So at what point have they got to change the model so that they start making money? You know, they want to blast out the competition and then perhaps, as Netflix has started to do, you know, raise prices. But here you are. What's happened to Netflix?
Disney.
Comes Disney.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's a point. I'm with you, and that's why I still stick to the Facebooks. I still stick to Amazon, you know, those where it's going to be a lot harder to knock them off the perch and where they're still very aggressive and they're making money.
Mm.
You know what I mean? These Facebook's making money. Amazon's making big money. Google or Alphabet's making big money and also got money to do other things. So that's where I would stick. I would I'd be very careful about going into those so-called new listings, and unless you really feel that they've got the kind of technology that's going to be very difficult to copy. I like monopoly or close to monopolies. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They've got it's called a dominance.
Isn't it strange, so, yeah. David, that we're talking about companies that allow you to put pictures of your wedding, yes, your wedding dress and up on a screen, and yeah, companies that allow you to take a taxi very easily, and gosh, just so many, and Disney streaming, so you can watch television. So it's all to do with services. There's no manufacturing, yeah, here.
No.
Boeing's results are out later this week. They're going to be their forward guidance is going to be shocking, I would imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, they will be under pressure. We know that. But you're right. Look, there's some good businesses elsewhere. I mean, Honeywell came out. You know, that we always had Honeywell or GE. Now I've got to go for GE. In the meantime, Honeywell has just completely outsmarted GE. I mean, a different business, great, well-run, and so on. So we are getting some good numbers out of those kind of companies. But I agree with you. There's no, you know, you're not getting manufacturing businesses like that. They are services business, but I suppose everything we do now is cyber. It's in the cloud. You know, it's not there. It's, I don't know.
Mm.
And the kids don't. That's what kids do. They I don't know. You know, play games, stream. It's fascinating to watch. We FaceTimed ahead of Passover. We FaceTimed my grandson in America, Giddy, he was, and we FaceTiming him. And in the background, his dad was on a business call, you know, we could hear him talking. We said, Giddy, go into another room. He couldn't. He looked at us absolutely petrified on FaceTime. Why? He was playing Fortnite, and you can't pause the game because you're playing against your mates, you know. He just looked at us with this horrified look. We said, okay, kids, we'll speak to you later.
Whatever
okay,
happened to the days? Whatever happened to the days when kids were out in the park playing a game of football? And speaking of football, David, you're not going to be here next week because you are, never mind the kids playing games, you're going to be watching games. You're going to be watching football matches, which I'm very sad for me and the vast listenership that you're not going to be around next week. But
here next Monday.
Okay, oh, you are?
So we're here.
Okay. So
I'm here next Monday. It's the following Monday I won't be here.
That case, well, we're putting it off, but I'll talk about it anyway. There's some big football coming up.
Big, yeah. Now, this is. I don't think from an English league supporter that we've ever had it so good in terms of what lies ahead. I'm talking about the semi-finals for Champions League. And also, you've never seen this, Lindsay. Fight for 1 and 2. Fight for 3, 4, 5, and 6, and then a fight for 7 as well. So, you know, 7 gives you access to Europa. So the company, there's Leicester, there's Wolves. Who else is there in that area? You know, fighting for that 7th place. Whereas you've got the others fighting for Champions League, and you've got fighting for the top. And then we've got the semis, and both Chelsea and Arsenal are in the Europa Cup, and you've got Spurs, Liverpool in the other league. I mean, hell.
What is the great, I mean, the most mouth-watering end to a season I've ever known. We've got Ajax versus Tottenham in the UEFA Champions League. We've got Barcelona versus Liverpool, which I can't. I don't know. It's just, what is it? 2 weeks away. It's on the 30th. Mm. Something. Like, in fact, it's only a week away, isn't it?
No, it's a week away.
Oh
my
goodness!
It's a week.
Oh no! I'm not going to be able to concentrate.
Oh, no, you can't.
A tool on this, and this in a season where Ipswich, of course, have been relegated to the third division for the first time since 1957. Just on the league. by the way. Paddy Power, my favourite bookmaker, comes out with Liverpool as outsiders at 13-10, and I think it's 8-10 Manchester City. Would you agree with that? I mean, Manchester City have got to go on Wednesday night to Manchester United. They have to win that game. If they lose that game or draw that game, then I think advantage Liverpool. Oh, but after Manchester United losing 4-0 to Everton, then, I mean, what?
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. I think all the teams that have been playing these games are starting to look weary, so it's very difficult to call. You know, I looked at Arsenal. They were all the other teams have said to Arsenal, "Yeah, take number three." Arsenal say, "No, we're quite happy with number six. Don't worry." You know, I mean, that's the way they played.
Well, against United Crystal Palace, you mean?
Against Crystal Palace, Man United didn't even turn up. I don't know where they were.
It's embarrassing.
You know, for the kind of money they played. And I also think, man, you know, even Man City, you know, looking very tired, not that sharpness that they had to dispatch the other teams and that. They've been getting through, but I think there's a risk. I think there's a risk, especially after Man United supporter. I would be very cautious to write them off.
We'll see. Exactly. Tomorrow night, can't wait. In 1 week, I can't wait. But you'll be here next Monday, David. No problem.
I'm here next Monday.
Jolly good. That's David Shapiro from Sasserin in Johannesburg. And that was Shapiro World. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za.